from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Thuy Vu, in for Dave Iverson. Coming up next on Forum, the backlash over tech buses continues. San Francisco transportation officials this week approved a pilot program to start regulating shuttles carrying employees from Google, Facebook, and other companies, and to charge fees for using muni stops. But will the move be enough to appease protesters? And then we turn our attention to the plight of endangered black rhinos. We'll hear from a conservationist and talk to the director of a safari club which recently auctioned off the rights to kill a black rhino. That's all coming up next on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Thuy Vu, in today for Dave Iverson. On Tuesday, the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency voted to approve a pilot program to regulate tech commuter shuttles, such as those operated by Google, Facebook, and other tech companies. Under the program, the shuttles will have to yield to muni buses, avoid busy stops, and pay $1 per day fees for each stop. The vote came in the wake of protests against the buses, which have become a symbol for critics of corporate greed, and what some see as the tech-fueled gentrification of the Bay Area. Supporters see the buses as a greener alternative, which gets cars off the road. We'll debate the MTA's decision, and we want to hear from you. Call us now at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786, or email forum at kqed.org. You can also post your questions or comments on our Facebook page. Now, joining us to talk about this are C.W. Nevius, Metro columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Tim Redman, editor of 48hills.com. He's also the former executive editor of the San Francisco Bay Guardian. Welcome to you both.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Chuck, let me start with you. Explain to us, lay out what the MTA did this week exactly. And it's an 18-month test. It starts in July.
It's a pilot program. That's right. One of the things that's been amazing is the amount of coverage this has gotten and the amount of interest it's gotten. I just got an email the other day from New Hampshire talking about the Google buses. So it's been a hot topic. MTA reacting to the idea that the buses are using public bus stops without any fee, has decided to implement a pilot program where each stop, so each time a bus stops at one of these, they'll have to pay a dollar. And it's a lot more than you might think. Some of these are making 200 stops. So it could run into some real money. They said it could be $100,000. Now, the form that they use is cost recovery. And what that means is they're charging the amount that they feel it will cost to implement this program. And that's how they came up with a dollar. Now, opponents are saying that's not enough. A dollar is chicken feed for these big corporations. They're saying it's a state law. State law governs the parking spaces. We're only allowed to do enough to cover the cost of implementing this program.
And Tim, what do you make of that? I know that you feel like this is the tech company privatizing what should be public transit.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, first of all, let us remember that for as much as 10 years, but certainly in the last 2 or 3 years, the tech buses have been using the muni stops illegally and not paying a penny. They just pulled right into the muni stops. Now, if I were to do that in a car, they don't fine you for doing it on a bicycle, but if I were to do that in a car, I would get $271 fine. $271. That's $270 more than these guys are paying. And they've been violating the law for all these years. And there's no back payment. There's no saying you got to pay the dollar for the past years when you were doing this completely illegally. There was no enforcement. So you look at that, and then you look at what this really is. And in my mind, this is a failure of the public transportation system. Because, you know, there was a time not all that long ago when we used to tax Mark Zuckerberg and corporations like Google and tax them at a level that allowed us to provide public transportation. And, you know, the federal government would help cities provide public transportation, and it was public. And why have we not, when we realize that there's this need, that we've gone from, what, 8% of people leaving the city to go to the peninsula to 25%, why have we not, as a region, come together and developed a public transportation option that allows people to take a bus to near the Google campus or near the Facebook campus or whatever, but a bus that I could ride on too? And why is it that the tech workers get to do this completely free? They don't pay anything for it. When low-income people are paying to ride Muni and getting a fine if they don't have the $2, it creates this sense of entitlement and unfairness. Why do they get to do this? Why do they get to break the law? Why do they get to ride the buses for free when the rest of us don't?
And now you're touching on the broader issue here. It seems to almost be a class war. It's about more than just transportation. It's about gentrification. It's about affordable housing. How much of this is it misplaced anger?
That's what I think. I mean, I feel it's displaced or misplaced anger. I think the buses are a straw man or a straw bus or whatever it is. And I'm a big fan of Tim's, but I have to disagree with him. I think public transportation, that horse left the barn a long time ago. I was just driving behind a casino bus on my way to work today. The Academy of Art buses have been going all over the city for years. As the MTA service said, 80% of the shuttles are in the city. They're not the tech buses. These buses have taken the weight for what is really a class warfare thing. And I think that's one of the things that we often say, and I think that's fair, that we say the city needs to step up and pay for some of these things. But now we've shifted it over to these corporations. And let's remember, this is a business. They don't have to be in the mid-market area, for example. We gave them a tax break to be here. That's one of the reasons that the city's doing so well. If that corporation wants to put a Google bus and take the people down there, I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, can we tweak the rules a little bit? Can we make sure it's not hindering Muni? Absolutely. And Google needs to step up and do that. But I think it's a straw man argument.
There was a study that came out recently by two UC Berkeley graduate students who found that 40% of the 130 riders they surveyed on these shuttles, these tech shuttles, say they would move closer to their jobs if the shuttles did not exist. But 48% said they would drive alone to their Silicon Valley jobs. So doesn't it make some sense from an environmental standpoint that these buses are helping to cut down on greenhouse gases, cut down on people driving solo in their cars?
You can't argue against that. Obviously, if companies are providing a bus to take their workers to work as opposed to all those people being in private cars on the road, obviously that's a benefit. And we are, as a society, trying to get people to take certainly take transit to get out of their cars. Now, the flip side of this is, and it's an interesting question to look at, the 40% of people who are living in San Francisco neighborhoods in the Mission and Noe Valley, in places where these buses have bus stops, and have driven up housing prices there, as, you know, housing prices went up when they built BART, right? You have an amenity like this. If they put a BART station at 30th Street, housing prices around there would go up, right? So, but they have driven up housing prices. And if you look at how many people have been displaced, who are lower income people, have been displaced from the Mission and Noe Valley, who may very well still work in San Francisco, and we don't have any studies on this. How many people have been forced out by higher housing costs, in part as a result of the Google buses, and they now live in Antioch or Brentwood or wherever it's cheaper, and they're driving to work every day in San Francisco because they work in a hotel or they work in a store or they work someplace in San Francisco. And, you know, BART is not cheap. For some people, the actual cheaper option is to buy an old, not energy efficient, not high mileage, not low pollution beater car and drive into San Francisco every day. What's the effect of that? And how many displaced people are now driving into the city? I don't know. I don't think we have any data on that, but I think simply to say that the Google buses are entirely a good thing because they're taking people off the road is a little short-sighted. There's another side to that.
And obviously, no one really thinks that what the MTA did this week is enough to appease or quiet this issue, not even the MTA itself. They even said at the meeting that they don't really expect it to go away just because they're instituting this pilot program. Where do we go from here if this is not enough to appease the critics, not enough to bring this debate down and tone it down a little bit? What else needs to be done, Chuck?
Well, I think we need a little bit of a reality check. I mean, I think rents are going up. Housing prices are going up all over San Francisco. And as I said the other day, what about mid-market? A lot of those companies moved to San Francisco where their employees, thousands of employees are moving into that area. They're probably driving up rents. That has nothing to do with Google buses. I think, again, a relatively small group of people, maybe 18,000 people are on these buses, and we've got 700,000 people on Muni. I think we're focusing on the wrong thing. And the right thing to focus on is a way to keep housing affordable for middle-class families. And that's where I think we need to focus. We can say MTA can say, look, we've got a pilot program. We're listening. We're aware that this is a concern. But the bigger issue is the mayor's issue, which is we need to get housing, more housing, increase the supply, and make it affordable for families in the mid-range. And I would say, as much as we talk about the service workers, I was just talking to someone in the mayor's office the other day, well over 60% of the people who work in service industries and hotels and so forth still live in San Francisco. So we are not at a point where we've driven those people out. It's a good idea. School teachers, firemen, policemen, we would love to have them in San Francisco, but it's not a crisis point yet.
We're talking about the tech shuttles, and most of them by Google and Facebook, and the ongoing protests against these tech shuttles and the bigger debate over gentrification and class warfare. Let's go to the phones. We have quite a few people lined up who want to Tim saying, who want to comment on this.
Mary, sure we do.
In Fremont, welcome to Forum.
Hi, I'm actually a Googler, and I ride the shuttle. And there is no other way to get to the Google campus from Fremont other than the shuttle unless I take my individual car. So for me, the shuttle is absolutely a total value add. Otherwise, I'm spending $150 a month on my gas and my, you know, tolls if I get into the carpool lane and take the toll lane, et cetera. So it's definitely something that I appreciate that Google provides.
I'm glad, and I'm glad that you have that opportunity. And my point is that you have just made the point that there is no other way for you to get there to work. And I think that's a regional failure. I mean, I think that we really need to be looking at regional transportation beyond BART, which is a very limited scope. I mean, BART takes you only along where the train tracks go. Why can we as a region not come together and have SamTrans and Muni talking and say, if there is a demand for people to go on public transit, on transit from San Francisco to these campuses, why don't we try to find a way to provide that is not purely privatized? I mean, I really feel like, you know, Chuck says that train has left the station, so to speak. I feel really bad about that. I feel bad if we really get to the point where mass transportation is going to be a private sector tool, because that's not fair. And it's not fair to a lot of the people who don't work for a company that can afford to provide this kind of a tool.
I just say that I understand that, and that makes perfect sense. But a lot of these alternative transportation, from Lyft to Sidecar to Uber to Google buses to all these other things, were created because of a vacuum. And there is not a good transportation plan that works effectively to get those people there. So we have to wait around until they decide to get together and make this work out. Or in the case of these corporations, Facebook, Google, some of these other things, you know what? We'll just do it. We'll take care of this ourselves. There was a lot of trouble with taxis. We didn't have a good taxi system. Everybody's trolling around the hotels downtown. They don't go to the other areas. Therefore, Uber and Sidecar and Lyft and these things jumped in. It doesn't happen by happenstance. And it doesn't happen because the corporations are evil. It happens because there's not a good alternative. They're addressing that in their own way. I don't know that that's the biggest problem.
A lot of people are fired up on our website as well. One person wrote, $1 per stop, and I think this is Thusi. I hope I have your name correct. If it were any cheaper, the city of San Francisco would be paying Google to block its bus stops. This is just one more indication that San Francisco has no center, no there. They would never allow this in New York, where public bus stops and public transport is recognized as priority. And Sharon writes, how does a payment per stop address the practical problem of a Muni bus not being able to pull into a stop and Muni passengers having to disembark or board in the middle of the street? How does a payment per stop address a huge bus blocking traffic as it negotiates a turn in a residential neighborhood? Payments don't seem to address the practical problems of these buses that are not suited to our city streets.
I would just say that where we live, there are four different shuttles that stop in our front door, none of which are Facebook or Google or techie. There's a UCSF. There's one from our neighborhood. There's a Jitney. I saw the casino buses again today. They block the area where I try to drop my wife off for work. And the Academy of Art buses, none of those are being charged. None of those are. This is selective, and it goes back to TWE, what you're saying, which is class warfare. And I think, if I just, the real irony to me is that a lot of these people who are on those Google buses, I think, are the same people who are protesting in a lot of ways. I think they look alike. I think they're similar in age. I bet their political views are very similar. But it's the old thing. One of the guys in our news meeting the other day said it's the old thing of the liberal arts students and the engineers. And you never invite the engineers to your party because you're a liberal arts student. But I think the differences are very slight. And with some cooperation, I think this thing could be worked out. But it's becoming more and more polarized.
Let's go back to the phones. And Peter in Berkeley, welcome.
Thank you very much. I grew up in Berkeley. I am, in fact, in my car because my high-tech company does not offer a shuttle. I think these shuttles are a rapid response to a problem that has grown far more quickly than transportation planning, which is necessarily far more long-term, can deal with. But I'd like to get to the class warfare issue. I don't think class warfare is the right term. We had similar anger against BART workers very recently. It's a misplaced anger from members of society when they feel they're getting shafted in some way or they're not getting what somebody else is getting. And I'm really disgusted by it, and I wish we could focus together on the problems we all face rather than this sniping against one another, whether it's techies or whether it's BART workers 2 decades ago under Reagan, whether it was welfare queens. That's the thing that disgusts me most about this. Thank you.
Tim?
Well, it's interesting that we're having so much talk about class warfare. I think that the anger at the Google buses is very, very different from the anger at the BART workers. I think people really are looking at a two-tier transportation system where some people get a fancy bus with Wi-Fi and the rest of us have to ride the crowded Muni. And I understand that frustration and anger. You know, the I agree with the previous caller that the $1 fee not only is insanely low, it doesn't do anything about these giant buses. I mean, I've actually seen these buses pull into the bus stop and then the Muni bus can't get in. They're going to prioritize Muni now. Does that mean that the Google bus is going to stop in the middle of the street while the Muni bus pulls into the bus stop? I mean, I think that we have a kind of chaotic transportation system problem here with these private buses that are using public stops. Now, we were talking about where is this going to go? What's going to happen next? The state law that says that you can only charge the cost of administering the program. It's very broad, actually. You can define the cost of administering the program in an awful lot of different ways. You could actually bring in the cost of traffic congestion, the wasted time, the wear and tear on the streets, the delay to the Muni buses, the extra time you have to pay Muni overtime because they're all of this stuff. It could be much higher than a dollar a stop. But the other interesting thing is, The state law says that you can charge a much higher fee if you want to. It just has to go before a vote of the people. So I could see, and I wouldn't be surprised, if somebody decides to put something on the ballot in November to raise that fee to $20 a stop or $271 a stop or whatever it is. We may have that. There's, you know, I bet right now if you put a Google bus tax on the ballot, it would probably get 75% of the vote.
Tim, someone wrote in on Facebook about you. Irwin says, Tim's argument is more envy than anything else. On my Caltrain commute, some of my fellow passengers flash eco passes to the conductor. Unlike my $120 monthly pass, those eco passes are provided by their employers. Am I envious? You bet. Tim's argument is no different.
I ride my bike around. So I'm in a different situation. I'm not a Google bus rider, nor am I often a Muni rider or a car driver. I ride my bike. So I'm not really envious of the Google buses.
You don't have bus envy?
I really don't have bus envy. No, but I do think that – I mean, I do think that we are seeing class warfare in San Francisco. We are seeing and I would like to argue that, you know, the people on the bottom of that didn't declare the class war. When, you know, real estate speculators started forcing people out of San Francisco, people who are losing their homes are angry. And perhaps that anger is misplaced at Google employees who are not forcing them out of their homes. It's really the real estate industry that's doing this. But I understand the frustration. And I actually think, and I don't think Chuck is going to disagree with me on this, I really think these big corporations, Google and Facebook, have to step up and cooperate with the city more and try to help out. Because frankly, if they don't, I mean, I see this. If they had come forward to the table and said, you know what, a dollar sounds really stupid. Let's come up with a higher fee. Let's come up with something that's reasonable. Let's work together on this. a lot of the anger would be dissipated. There is a lot of anger out there on the streets, and you can feel it. And I feel like the tech titans, the people at the top of these industries, are not doing enough to try to work with the city to dissipate that. And it's going to come back at them.
And as much as I hate to agree with Tim, that is true. And I know the mayor's office is incredibly frustrated that these corporations have been silent. And this is their MO. This is their PR deal. They don't answer questions about the Google barge. They don't answer questions about Google Glass. They just let it sit there. But now they're in a fist fight. And they need to do some PR, and they need to show that they're concerned about this and that they're trying to take some action. However, I would say Google also provides lunch and dinner for its employees. I wish they did that at the Chronicle. They don't. But I don't have a problem with it if that's what Google wants to do. And I feel the buses are not that much different. Google has the resources to do that. Facebook has the resources to do that. It's a perk. But I think there's a difference between public transportation and a corporation providing a bus. And we can be envious, but I don't think we can say, you have to let me on that bus because I want the same perks you have. You don't work for that company. It's difficult.
On the other hand, the Google and Facebook are not serving lunch on city streets. And this is using the city streets and using the Muni stops and causing an impact on other people in the city. It doesn't cost me anything. It just causes, as a Muni rider, I do not get slowed down because Google is offering lunch at their campus. Okay, it has no impact on me. The Google buses have an impact on Muni riders and on pedestrians and on drivers and on bicyclists. My God, those things are – you ride a bike next to that Google bus? It's scary.
Any bus.
You both agree on one thing, that Google and Facebook and other tech companies are offering these shuttles need to do more. But it's a bit of a dilemma. If the city gives them too much trouble – what's to prevent them from wanting to move out and go to another city where it's not so troublesome,
right,
where there aren't so many protests?
Google and Apple and Facebook and Genentech are not going to leave the peninsula because they have to pay more for their buses. They're here in part because they all love being here. They're also here in part because this is where the money is. The venture capital in the Bay Area, the VC people in the Bay Area will tell young entrepreneurs on the East Coast, you got to come out here. We want to be close to you. We want to see where you are. There's a million. How much is Apple spending on its new Flying Saucer campus in Cupertino? They're not going to move out of there because somebody made them pay more for their buses.
Well, and that's fine. But I would say again that, you know, this is not city government. These are corporations. They're in it for a profit. There's no reason to make it hard on them, and there's no reason for them to make it hard on themselves. They need to step up, make a statement, and find something to do. If it's fewer stops, if it stops in less congested areas, I would say in front of the Chronicle, there is a bus stop, and there often are two or three Muni buses trying to get in at the same time. They're blocking traffic. We have buses all over the city, and the Google buses are only part of it. Maybe we need to regulate those. Maybe we need to find a way to charge them Academy of Art a dollar a stop, too. But it's not just those buses.
Okay, we have time to take just one more call. I want to try to get let's see here, Alex in San Francisco, a chance to join in real quickly. Good morning.
Oh, hi. I did want to correct Mr. Nevius. Reuters has the number of riders at 45,000 a day, not 18,000. We do have a supply and demand issue for housing in the city. There would not be the Ellis Act or the cost of living. I think the Twitter tax breaks are just, you know, and the Google buses, they would move south. If they had to spend 2 hours on 101 with no laptop while they're driving, I don't care. That 48% would move. It would solve the supply and demand issue with housing in the city. We should have turned the Twitter building into low-income housing. Why are we giving them tax breaks? There's been no environmental impact report on this stuff, and obviously it is a problem. I personally was stuck at a light with one bus costing an entire people behind them the light when they were waiting for another bus in front of them at Hayton to visit Darrow.
Okay.
It's a net negative on the city's economy. It's a problem. We do not need these jobs imported here or exported jobs.
All right. Alex, you got the last word. Thanks so much for joining us. Obviously a lot of heated debate on this, and Tim and Chuck, I'm glad to hear that you agree on one thing during this conversation.
Kind of fun. I'll deny that, though, afterwards.
We were joined by Tim Redman of 48hills.org and C.W. Nevius of the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you both for being here and being part of the program. I'm Twee Boo.